Nice to
Begin,
hear.
Alison, begin. Is the recording in progress, Alison?
It is in progress, and you, by clicking on glot it, got it.
Glad it.
Give us your
Glad it.
consent to record.
I consent to the recording. Good
So
morning.
today we'll be talking about horizontal versus vertical relationships. I'm infatuated with this idea. So thank you
Infatuated.
for going along with me today.
Cool.
Should I tell you where we learned about this idea of vertical and horizontal?
Do tell me where we learned about
Where
it.
did we learn about it?
Where did we
So
learn about it, Alison?
we've been listening to a book called The Courage to Be Disliked. And in there it is it's like a parable that goes through Adlerian theory. And Adler was I believe a psychologist around the same time as Freud and Jung. And those two got real popular, their stuff, mainstreamed, and Adler kind of ended up on the side. And he has a different theory of the how the human psyche is formed. And anyways, inside of his theory, his Adlerian theory, is that there are vertical and there are horizontal relationships. And vertical relationships refer to those relationships where somebody either is smarter, more experienced, older, and like somebody is higher and somebody is lower. Think military, right? Like drill sergeant is higher than the recruits. And so therefore we listen to that person. That person screams orders and we do the thing. Versus looking at people as horizontal, as peers, as colleagues. And he uses the word comrades, which I think is funny because that's the Russian. Isn't comrade German or Russian? I don't know.
It has a sort of that kind of feel to it, doesn't it? Yeah,
Yeah.
comrades.
And the idea behind this Adlerian theory is that we shrink the number of people with whom we have these vertical relationships, and we try to our best ability to have horizontal relationships with everyone, including children, including drill sergeants, and everybody in between, to try to flatten that and see people as our equals. How'd I do?
You did really well.
Should I
I
end the
have
podcast right there?
it was beautiful.
The end.
Press stop. I love that you said we're listening. It made me I loved it when you said we're listening to a book at the moment.
The two of us
It's the
together.
two of us with little crocheted blankets over our knees or going, I just loved it. This is what we're doing.
Our rocking
Can you
chairs.
see this?
I can. Yes.
Can Tracy see it?
For those of you who cannot see it, she's showing a book. It's called The Courage to Be Disliked by, I can't
Good.
pronounce the names. They are two Japanese sounding names, Kashimi and Koga.
Yeah, so we can put that in the
Good point.
blurb
Add
so
the
people can have a read. It's
glossas.
lovely to read to listen to this book on audio. And I've also ordered the physical book and its counterpart, which is The Courage to Be Happy.
Show
And
us this book for
there's
those of
another one,
you
and I
who can't
believe
see.
for those of us who can't see, yeah, this doesn't work on radio. But this one I believe came first,
Nope,
actually.
it's second. I'm
It
listening
was
to it
second,
right
was
now.
it?
Yeah. It's
Okay,
like 5
great.
years later, they come back and it's the parable continues. So the young person in the first book goes out, he's a teacher, and he tries to teach using Adlerian theory. He
Oh,
treats all of his
fantastic.
students. There's no praise, there's no criticism. And then he comes back, he's pissed. So he's like, these
Mayhem.
children are, yeah, they're little maniacs. And now I have no order and nobody's listening to me.
The maniacs.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So yes, you did really, really well.
You're
Now
praising
I was
me.
listening. I am praising you. I'm encouraging you,
Thank
Alison.
you.
It's
Thank you.
encouragement.
Thank you.
So forgive me, I do not know where we, I don't know what the destination is of this conversation. I don't have that mapped out. Did you have something mapped out that you want to share with me so that I
So
can
the
follow
first thing was
along?
to define what is vertical
Yeah,
and
which we've
horizontal,
done.
which we've
Yeah,
done.
I had
We were going
that.
to talk through some examples. And usually somewhere in those examples, we talk about why bother? Why bother
Yeah.
think this way? What for? How come? And then we usually land on a takeaway for each of
Great.
us.
So I've got a little bit of a spanner I want to throw in the works. May
Let's do it. Well, we'll
I? Okay,
see.
so yes, horizontal relationships, peers, colleagues, comrades, both parties are equal in status, knowledge, power. And then on the other side, just as you said, vertical relationships, somebody has more wisdom, more authority,
More
perhaps more
power, yeah.
responsibility, more power. But I was listening to something this morning, which, because Adler, and in this book that we're talking about, The Courage to Be Disliked, Adler says all relationships should be. Now, that's how it's presented in this book.
Right.
All relationships should be. And I was listening to something this morning which was advocating for having more vertical relationships in our lives.
Oh.
Shall I go on?
Yeah, I'm like in,
Okay,
yep,
great.
because I love the horizontal relationship.
Yes. So the value of the vertical relationship is that you are spending time with someone who has more wisdom than you. You're spending time with someone who has more knowledge than you. You're spending time with someone you can learn from.
Can you do that in a horizontal relationship?
Yes, horizontal relationships can be mutually beneficial.
So it's interesting because in the second book, The Courage to Be Happy, the teacher, the young man who wants to absorb this wisdom from, the wise sage, he comes back and he's like, I have been treating these children like they are horizontal. That's what he's supposed to do. And the way he did it is he said, I didn't praise and I didn't, it's not criticize. I can't remember the word they use in the book, but he said, I didn't praise them and I didn't criticize them. And they were wild maniacs and I can't control anything. And the wise sage says, you still treat them as horizontal because they're human. So the teacher knows more. Children will learn from teacher, but they'll do it from a place of, because we're human, we respect and honor each other. And he talked about like the democracy of a classroom. So I think that maybe you see vertical as like somebody might know more, somebody might have more power. I see it as a mindset. That if I think you're, and we talked about this on our previous podcast, that there's like this comparison and competition that happens in the vertical, right? Because somebody's higher than us and we're trying to like, so you were saying, oh, you've done a TEDx, and so therefore you're better than me. And actually, the work, according to Adlerian theory, is to horizontalize our relationships, that we are all doing things in different places in our lives, but that we are all equal because we're human.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I've maybe muddied the waters by throwing by putting that piece into the conversation. But what I was sort of thinking about this morning was like, oh, the thing that makes the difference, like you started out by saying, the sergeant major who shouts at you, is that you can be in a vertical relationship where, or a relationship, if we take the language away, where somebody knows more than you, or perhaps has more responsibility than you. So if you think about a family situation where the buck kind of has to stop with the, I don't know, 35-year-old parent as opposed to the 5-year-old child, because the 35-year-old parent has more knowledge of the world and can drive the car, for example. You wouldn't say, well, we're equal, you drive it, kiddie. You wouldn't do that. And yet, within that relationship where there is a hierarchy, where there is a vertical plane where where one person has less experience or less knowledge and the other has more, within that plane, I was sort of thinking of it as a kind of like an axis thing. You can be treated
Yes,
with
you can
respect.
always be
Yes, this is
horizontal with that
always
person.
present and always
Yes.
available, not always present, but it can always be cultivated. It can
Yes.
always
Yes.
always be present should you work towards that. And that and the piece that was sort of coming to my head was, oh, the abuse of power. That's where we get the problems in
Yes.
vertical relationships. But from what you're saying to me, you are still more leaning towards the Adlerian should not, all relationships should be horizontal as
It's,
opposed to.
I would say, I would just shift it a little bit and say that there is always a possibility to be horizontal with anybody, whether it's a 5-year-old
Yes.
child or
Yeah.
you called it a
Yeah.
master sergeant, which sounds adorable. That's a, I, in American military, like there's this like very strict hierarchy and the words are very
Yeah.
specific of what we
Yes. I
called
made
people.
Master Sergeant up. That
Oh, you
isn't
made it
my.
up. That's even better.
Yeah,
I
it
love
was an
it.
accident. I
I
don't even
love
know that
it.
I said it, but yeah, you said drill sergeant. Sorry,
Super
I made
duper sergeant.
made it up.
That even inside of any of those relationships, there's always the possibility to see somebody as your equal.
Yes.
And that's what I love about this theory. Why do I love it? Do you love it?
I do love it, and I think I'm that. Can I just close that piece
Please.
that we just had about the, vertical and horizontal, and like, is it either or? And I would like to hold it as a both and that I can be in a relationship where there is a clear hierarchy of perhaps responsibility or a clear hierarchy of knowledge, and I can overlay on that relationship
Yes.
horizontality, if that isn't even a word, but
Yeah.
I can be in that relationship in a way that is horizontal
Yes.
without kind of saying, I'm not going to look at the fact that you have more knowledge than me. I'm not going to look at the fact that, that you might have or I might have more responsibility or power than you in this situation. I'm going to hold this as yes, I can see these pieces and I'm going to be in this relationship in a way, as you said, mindset that is horizontal.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a both and
Yeah.
for me.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think so let's use some examples so that we can like
Yeah,
make
make it
this more
real.
real. Yeah. So I wrote down a few things that people say to me that are very vertical. And I don't think people intend it to be vertical. I think in a lot of ways we're conditioned this way. But I had just finished my last competition for CrossFit was last night. Ooh, I just snorted because I was stretching. Let's edit that out. And there's a couple of things that people were saying, like, I'm proud of you. That's a very vertical thing to say because it puts somebody in like a place of like they either know more or they've done it before and they're proud of me, which puts me at a lower rung. By the way, I want to say that this is not the intention of most people. But
No.
now that I'm becoming aware of it, it's really interesting. So I'm watching my own language. The other thing is, you'll do great. You'll do great, right? It's very vertical. Like, how do you know how I'm going to do, right? But it puts another person in a position of like trying to cheerlead, right? Oh, I'm sure you're going to. And then the last thing, I hate this. You got this. You don't know what I got. Right? It's very vertical. All of these sayings, these statements are meant to encourage us. However, it's a crazy cheerleady way of doing it.
I'm trying to work out whether I agree with you. I think I'm on the same page with the proud. For years, I have said to my sons, it's not my place to be proud of you, but I am. So I'm kind of like owning the fact that, like, it's their place to have a sense of self-pride and self-worth at what they've
Of
achieved.
course.
So I think I, before I knew, before we started reading this book, before we started
Yeah.
talking about this together, there was some sense in me that, oh, me being proud of you is weird. So
Like
that
you're
one I
stealing it.
personally get. Yeah, I personally get it, like, you know, that I am glowing with pride because of you. So I get that one. The you'll do great. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask if you can turn that I'm proud of you into an encouragement. Make it horizontal.
Well, what I've tended to do so far is to ask them about how they feel about what they've done. So I'm then drawing out from them their pride, sense of accomplishment.
Yep.
And I know what I say. What I always say is, I'm so pleased for you. So I make
Okay.
it that I'm pleased for them that they got the thing they wanted, and I don't make it about me,
That's
even though
more
I'm putting an I.
horizontal.
Yeah, I'm putting an I, there's an I statement in there, I am, but I'm like, I'm so pleased for you, dot, 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 because you got the thing you wanted, that did you did the thing.
One of
So
the
that's
things
how I've handled it so far.
I like it. I think that's more
Yeah.
encouraging than I'm so proud of you.
Well,
Because I
look, the
kind of like,
reason I don't like, sorry to interrupt, Ali, the reason I don't like I'm proud of you, because it means I could then be not proud of you. That's the reason I haven't liked it, because if I'm giving pride or experiencing pride, it means there are things they can do that would have that pride not be there.
well, and the other reason I don't like it, I agree with you there, and it puts you above them. That's why I don't like it. I am proud of you, meaning like somehow they've done something that is pleasing to you, that and it steals their self-agency, it steals their autonomy.
I don't hold it that way. I don't see it that way as me being above them. I see it as being more the other piece that you said, which is and that I said, which is, you can please me and you can displease me. And in this moment, with this thing, you have pleased me. I am proud. But remember, displeasure is available too. And that's the bit I haven't wanted. So, I'm moving towards seeing how I'm flattening, to use your word, I'm flattening. What am I flattening? I'm removing the pleasure displeasure piece. It from our relationship.
In the book, they talk about praise as being manipulative. This book is super
Yes.
provocative.
Yes.
And there's a
It's
lot
so
of,
good.
yeah, it's great to really like provoke my thinking. Because most of us think praise and compliments are a good thing. And I'm not here to say that they are good or bad. I do see how flattery, praise, complimenting can be manipulative. I can see it. And so what you're saying is when you say I'm proud of you to your sons, that is manipulative.
Yes, because by as I said, I'm repeating myself, by saying you can please me, you can create, you know, what you have done pleases me, what you have done brings me pride. I am proud of you. The other thing is also available. You can displease me. I cannot be proud of you. And I haven't wanted that to be there. I mean, obviously I'm human, and you know, and they're human, and you know, we get into these things, and we've had lots of training in it, i.e. praising, criticizing, you know, power struggles and all of that sort of stuff, where I'm trying to sort of like enforce my rule upon them, you know, go and do this, you know, go and see your grandmother or whatever, you know, and they're like, yeah, I will, but not right now. I'm go now, you know, that sort of thing. So please, Tracy, don't get any ideas, and Sherifat, that I'm kind of a
And
saint.
Aaron listens to us too.
Does he?
She.
Or Erin? She, Erin. Okay, I got you. Sorry, I heard Aaron. Aaron.
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I feel like I said the same thing, but okay.
Yeah, I'm now correcting your own pronunciation of your friends' names. I
I love it.
apologize.
We
Sorry.
pronounce them the same here, Aaron and Aaron.
Oh.
Erin, Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. It's
So
the
we say
same.
Erin. and Aaron. So they sound a little bit different.
Well done.
So back to the thing. Where did we get to? So we were
so
talking
sorry.
about the manipulation.
Yes.
That is, and it's subtle, Ali.
Very,
it's
very.
Really, really subtle. So you can be in a relationship with someone that is, you know, harmonious and feels mutually beneficial and all of these pieces has, you know, feels like a good relationship, which I feel I have with my sons. And yet this thing can be, this manipulative sort of power play can be there. Just a very subtle undercurrent
yes.
in the language.
Yes.
And so it's a for me, it's a beautiful task, which I'm feeling really great about because I've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
But
right.
You know, feeling really good about the fact that, oh, without without having known this theory, I have been flattening the structure in some way, or at least removing some of that please me, displease me
Right.
piece.
Yep. So you can see how this operates inside family, parent child. It's very, very rampant. Right? Because really, at the end of the day, a lot of us see our children as a reflection of us, which is part of the problem. That makes it vertical versus like our children are their own humans with their own
and beings.
Yep. And that's harder. The other place that I really see this is inside of teams and organizations. So if there is an official leader, you know, a president, a vice president, whatever, executive director, that it starts, we can start to do this verticalness inside of those relationships, teacher to classroom. And when I start to think through like, ah, this is manipulative, like, that's where this praise and compliment starts to really, it's clear to me how manipulative that is, that leaders can use compliments and praise to get what they want. And that too is a very provocative statement.
Yes, and I think it can be, it can be subtle and it can be overt, it can be conscious and it can be unconscious.
Yep.
I think most people, when they say I'm proud of you or when they say well done, are not they're not conscious that there could be, they're not
correct.
Trying to manipulate. They're
No.
not trying to manipulate. They're
No.
They're trying to celebrate you.
So how can you celebrate me without making it about yourself? What would you do if you wanted to say, hey, Allie, well done competing in that CrossFit. You got this.
Yeah.
Great job. How would you move that from praise into an encouragement or even an acknowledgement?
I'm trying to remember what I said to you yesterday.
You said that you were proud of me. Great job. And you got this. I'm totally kidding. You did not say any of those things.
Yeah, probably did.
Oh, no. It's fine.
So what would I say to you? Well, I might ask, I'm wondering if, I'm going to depend on the question there. I'm going to say, how did you feel about it? So how would I acknowledge you? Okay, so it would be something around your determination and application of self, because you've been training for the CrossFit competition for several months, 5 months or more. So I would, you know, acknowledge the fact that you had put in a lot of time and effort, and you'd applied yourself. How would I say that in a sentence that sounded natural and not weird?
A lot of times you will say things like, I'm really inspired by your commitment or something like that, which kind of
I'm
makes
in
it
there,
about
then.
you.
It does.
It's okay. It's okay. I think it's okay to be in there. I think, but what it does is it puts us horizontal versus like, well done. Great job. You got this. I'm proud of you. Now it's like, I really am. I can really see how your commitment, or I'm really inspired by your commitment. Maybe.
Yeah, because if I say, I mean, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of the language here, but if I say your commitment is inspiring, I'm making a broad brushstroke generalization. I have no idea whether it's true or not, because I don't know whether it's inspiring to other people.
Well, if it's inspiring to you, that's all that matters. That's why
Yes,
you
that's
can
what I'm
make that
saying.
statement.
That's why I've put myself in there, because I'm like, this is really inspiring. You know, what you, your application, your determination, your discipline, is really inspiring to
And I think
me.
that honors the human. It makes it flat again. Because what you're saying is like, I'm a human and you're a human, and I can really see the parts of you that you had to bring forward
I don't
to
know
create
though,
it.
because that means, well, it means you do things that don't inspire me. It means you can do things that don't inspire me. So I'm not convinced that that is.
Maybe it's like I'm really present to your commitment, diligence, and tenacity, or something like that.
Yeah, but then we're speaking like people from, you know,
In
from
a
a
cult.
Shakespeare play. Yes, I'm so present to the. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting place, and you can tell that this isn't pre-planned, this conversation, because we've ended up somewhere we didn't expect to end up. But I've noticed in the coaching group that you and I are in, that there's a lot of I'll own it myself. I've fallen into the habit of saying, "Great job, nice job, I love that you have blah, blah, blah." And I've been actively practicing removing that from my language. And then again, we're in a particular environment there. It's a small environment of whatever, 30 people. We have created a language so we can say things to each other like, I am present to your commitment. I'm present to. So I have said that in that context because it feels like the lingo or the normal language that we would use there. And I have also practiced sharing how their behaviors have inspired me. But I'm wondering now, is that still me subtly suggesting that it's possible for them to not inspire me, and for me to look at them and go, meh.
I
Don't
don't
know how
either.
to deal with that, Ali. Don't
Well,
know where to come from.
yeah, I think so. I was looking in like what it was interesting about this book is that they talk, the title of the book is The Courage to Be Disliked, right? And I love courage comes from the root word is cor, which is heart. So courage, we find courage in our heart. And I that has always been for me just really empowering. And then they were talking about N courage, which is to like draw out courage in somebody else, which I was like, I loved that courage is part of encourage. And it never occurred to me that encourage had the word courage in it, right? Like when you start to split words apart, I was like, oh, I love it. And then discourage is to like cut off courage.
Yes.
And so when I think about how I want to relate to other people, I want to role model courage, and I want to draw out courage in others. What does that look like? It's not like, well done, great job, proud of you. That doesn't really encourage. Yeah, we can get into the nitty-gritty of like that's actually making us vertical and whatever. But when I see you as pure humanness, and then I impute, how do I draw out your courage? And a lot of it's going to be questioning, like, what is it that you want? So I was in a
Yes.
conversation with somebody who asked me to join. He's starting a mastermind. And at one point he said, if you were able to make it to this goal, I would jump for joy. I'd be the most excited person in the room. And that automatically put me at a lower place than him. Because I'm not doing it to make him jump for joy. But I was aware of that in that moment. Instead of saying something like, what is it that you really want to do with your business? And wow, can you imagine what that would be like if you got there? That is like drawing courage versus like, I would jump for joy if you could do the thing. Like, he didn't even check in if that was what I wanted. That's what he wants for me.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Go. I breathed and stopped you.
It's okay. I'm trying to.
You said so.
As I think about practicing making my relationships more horizontal, relating to people as horizontal, I can focus on drawing courage from them versus like beating the drum and cheerleading and like bells and whistles to try to like to try to be the person who to put myself above them. I want to draw courage from them, which means I'm getting over there with them. I'm not out in front like saying, let's do it and let's do the thing. I'm standing next to them. Did that make sense?
It did. It did completely. And it relates very much for me to our work as coaches.
Yeah.
Because, and my favorite thing on earth, which is to elicit. Don't,
yes.
Only put something in if it's like life or death. And it's like, without this piece, the wheels are going to fall off.
Yeah.
But, to elicit. I love that. That's my favorite thing.
Yes. For
so
which you've
the,
been criticized.
Oh, yes. I can't remember, but yes, I'm sure I have.
In our group, when you and I led, we were criticized.
Oh, were we for eliciting?
In Costa Rica.
Oh my God. Okay. Yes. I'm vaguely remembering it. Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously I blocked it out. It's too traumatic.
Yes.
blocked
Let's
it
never
out.
Speak of it again.
Let's never speak of it again, Alison. Do not speak those words to me again. So I love that idea of drawing, supporting somebody to become present to their courage, to what it took.
Yes.
Them to move themselves from A to B, from where they were 5 months ago, having never done any CrossFit, to where they were last night, powerlifting or whatever they were doing, and like giving it their all. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, I really like that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm seeing that our society is basically so set up to see it as a positive thing, to say, well done.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure whether well done is a like, okay, I'm getting in a pickle. What is the difference then between congratulating somebody, which is a well done, celebrating somebody, and also appreciation? Mm-hmm. I went round to a friend's house last night and she said, oh, I really like your hair long. I didn't feel manipulated. Mm-hmm. She, in fact, I think she said, your hair looks really nice long. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't feel manipulated because I also think my hair's looking really nice at the moment because
so
it's
then if
longer.
If you agree, it's a nice thing.
So, it didn't feel, but what if she had said, like, I didn't feel manipulated. I felt she was appreciating something.
Mm-hmm. I think context matters.
Yeah.
When my mother says, oh, you look so lovely with lipstick on, that's manipulative. But when you, because she thinks I should wear lipstick. So if I do it, I am pleasing her. And when I don't do it, I am displeasing her. So that context is there because I've known her for 50 years of my life. She's been begging me to wear lipstick. When you say, Allie, that color looks lovely on you, it really draws out, your gorgeous features. I don't feel manipulated because you haven't been begging me to wear this red North Face coat for 50 years. So context matters. And I think the place, it's so subtle. It matters like where we're coming from. So when somebody says to me, oh, you've got this, usually it's because they don't know what else to say. And they're trying to be encouraging. And our society says, you should cheerlead people. That cheerleading is encouraging. And I will tell you, yesterday, when people were cheerleading me during the competition, it was pissing me off. I wanted them to stop. because I was in my head. I was angry. I was in a lot of physical pain. That actually was distracting me. I was trying to focus, and it was like a mosquito, just like buzzing my ear. I was like, shut up.
So was it what they were saying, or the fact that they were loud and disturbing your concentration?
Both.
Okay.
I was in a place. I mean, it had really very little to do with them. I was in my head. I was really frustrated. I was hurting. I felt like I could be doing more, and I just couldn't. Like, my body was breaking down. I was maxing out. I was cramping. It doesn't matter. So in the midst of all of that pain and agony, to have somebody being like, you got it, one more. I wanted to scream, shut up. Because I couldn't do one more. Like, they weren't, it was insulting to me, because it's like, do you not, like, just don't do that right now. I couldn't do another one. I needed to stop. Like, the pull-ups, my forearms were cramping. I couldn't grip the bar anymore. And if you can't grip a bar, you cannot do a pull-up. And so don't yell at me to do one more. Like, I was already in my head about, like, oh, I, you know, like, what am I going to do about my... So I think context matters.
Yeah, I agree, because again, that's probably manipulative. I don't know, to tell you, I agree. This is so interesting. And
I know.
I really appreciate anyone who listens to this, because I actually feel we're discussing the stuff that is going to be the body of our
program
that we're designing.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm kind of like, we're really pulling it to pieces. We're not landing anywhere in particular. We're exploring.
Yeah.
And so, you know, appreciation and thanks to anyone who joins in and listens, you know, later and drops a comment or something. But yes, I can see the point about context, because if I had an agreement with a personal trainer to work with me and to encourage me to do one more than I felt able to do, that would be the basis of our agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And they would also have a very specific eye on me. So they would, you know, and I would be in communication with them about what was happening in my forearms, and they would see, because they'd be close up and right with me, they'd be able to see that I couldn't grip the bar.
Right.
I couldn't do this.
Do you want to know something interesting? My trainer was there last night, and he never yelled at me. He never said, you can do one more. Come on, Allison, you got it.
Yeah.
When he saw me do a lift really well, he would just nod at me. That was it. So he knows me. He has my context. He knows where I need someone to nod at me, and he knows when to keep his mouth closed, because I can't hear him. Like, it will annoy me. He knows me well enough now. So it's interesting. So that's another thing that we can tie in here, is like, the more you develop a relationship with somebody, the more you can be on a horizontal level with them. That, like, when Allison has to, you know, drop the bar because she cannot do one more rep, that's not the time. She's already in her head, beating herself up, getting herself focused, coming back to the bar. Like, I had to drop it. I had to stop. I had to, like, reset and then go back to the bar. And if you interrupt that reset, that's not good. That's not a good idea. So, like, but when nobody can know that, because they're not in relationship with me. My trainer knew it.
Yeah.
So he didn't say a word.
No.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it is. And it's making me think. I'm just checking the time. So we've been talking for 50 minutes. just think.
We were going to do 30.
I started this conversation. Let's try and do just 30.
Plus or minus 30.
I'm thinking about parents shouting at kids at the side of the football pitch.
Yes.
You
oh
know,
my God.
And or- how that is often, like, not great. So we can see. So what if, let's try and pull out what we have distinguished, or at least what we've covered in this conversation. I think this is going to be a running conversation.
Yeah. Because I'm not sure. Okay, so do you want to start? What is your takeaway for today? What can you draw out?
Okay, what can I draw out? Well, I've come away with more questions than necessarily answers.
Yeah.
I've come away wanting to look at celebration, appreciation, and cheerleading. Those are three pieces that I want to look at. And I've also come away wanting to take on the practice of noticing when I'm praising and when I'm, he didn't say admonishing or criticizing, but we'll just stick with, he didn't use either of those words.
Yeah, I don't remember
but when
the
I'm
word.
Praising, I'm not so much interested at the moment in the criticism or the admonishment, but more about the praise. Where am I subtly praising people? And don't even notice I'm doing it. So that's my takeaway, really, that I've got these words, celebration, appreciation, cheerleading, and praise. And I want to think about them a little bit more, and I want to notice where I'm doing one, other, or all of them. That's my takeaway.
That's a great takeaway. I love it. Oh, I just did it. I just praised you.
Oh my God, you just did it.
Beep.
Thank you.
We need like that. You remember there's a game called Tattoo and it has a little buzzer. Like every time we do it, we hit the I think my takeaway is how much the relationship matters. And if that's the case, then building the relationship and learning about the other person and what it is that is encouraging to them. I actually want to sit on the other side. I really want to start to build an awareness of like, how might I encourage versus praise? How might I acknowledge versus cheerlead? And what
I think
does
that's
that
the
look
same
like?
side. Yeah, I think the other side.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
That I don't, I probably will build awareness around like when I'm praising and doing those things that will happen along. And I want to start getting into how do I know if something is encouraging for somebody? How will I know?
That's a really nice question to
I
ask
hope to
yourself.
find an answer to that. I'm going to write that down.
Well, it will be hundreds of thousands of different answers, because it will be different possibly for each person.
Right. And I can see it being, I know when I'm over on the encouraging side versus the praising side, probably because I have a relationship with that person and I know them well enough to know what they want, what they desire. And therefore that will help me to draw the courage versus like what I think is great. Like, oh, you did a great job. You lifted the heavy weight. Well, is that what they wanted? Where were they heading? What was it that they desire? Why are they even here? Why are they lifting heavy weights? What's their end game?
Yeah, and that's really making me think, like, how do I do that when I'm in a momentary interaction or a short relationship with someone that is new or passing?
Right.
How do I come from that place in a relationship that exists for a few moments or for a day because I'm on a workshop with somebody? Or this is so juicy and so interesting. Would you like to acknowledge yourself for anything in this?
Oh, yes. I would like to acknowledge myself for the courage to talk about this without understanding it fully and being vulnerable to being wrong, being provocative, having people disagree or think that this is like worthless or whatever. Mostly that it's wrong. I think that's where my like little tender spot is, like people are gonna think we're wrong. And doing it anyways. How about you? What would you like to acknowledge yourself for?
Similar, I really want to acknowledge myself for being in a conversation which we're going to share publicly with Tracy and Sharafat and Erin, when I don't know the answers. I don't know the answers. I'm in my own exploration around this. So I want to acknowledge myself for that. Yeah.
Well done. I just did it again.
Oh my God, what are you packing in?
Pack it in.
Pack it in, woman. Okay, cool.
All right, I love you.